All right, now, we're coming off in Matthew, in this harmony of the Gospels. This is what we're seeing is basically only seen here in Matthew 19, Matthew 20. We'll go back pretty quick after this to looking at other aspects. But today, we're on the heels of Matthew 19. So I thought it'd be good. Let's just go down and look at some of the verses that appeared in Matthew 19. Because Jesus had been teaching on some conditions about entering into the kingdom of God. In Matthew 19:16, he writes, "What good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" That was the rich ruler, okay? And he said, "Hey, what can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, look, if you'll be perfect, thou shalt have treasure in heaven." Perfect, it takes perfection. And you and I know that there's only one who can be perfect, and that is Jesus Christ. Well, now the young man, we should have another verse in there. The young man, he went away sorrowful because remember Jesus said, "I want you to keep all these commandments." He said, "Oh, I've been doing all those." And then he says, "Oh, yeah, there's one thing that you lack. Go and sell all and come follow me." Oh, okay. Well, he had a lot of things, and so the Lord knew exactly what it was, the area where he wasn't obedient or perfect. And, of course, Jesus says, you know, with men it's impossible, because he just spoke how it's impossible. It's hard for a rich man to be saved. It's, you know, more difficult for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. But, you know, hey, with men it's impossible, but with God, he says what? All things are possible. And, of course, God can make us righteous through his righteousness. Now, in verse 20 through 30, Peter wants to know what they, the disciples, will receive because they'd forsaken all. They'd followed the Lord. Okay, so what are we going to get? And Jesus tells them they're going to receive 100-fold, and they're going to inherit eternal life. And verse 30 ends up like this, "But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Now, when we get done with this passage today, we're right back to that same thought. Many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, here's their statement. Those who forsake all, follow Jesus, and appear to have little, and are last in the kingdom, actually have much and be first. That's the theme of what we're looking at today. So we're here we are, Matthew chapter 20, and we're looking at verse 1. Question, what does Jesus compare the kingdom of heaven unto? He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder." All right? A householder. "And what did the householder do in the morning? Which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." So he's going out at 6 o'clock. He's looking for some laborers for the day. Remember, their day was what? From 6 to 6. All right? So they're going out early, 12-hour days. And that's why we say that, you know, how much should we work? You got 6 12-hour days. Then you have the Sabbath for a day of rest. So you got these. So he goes out at 6, and he's going to find some, all right? "Now, how much did the laborers agree to work for the day?" In verse 2. "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Now, a penny, the denarius, that was what we know to be a normal daily pay for labor. So they were getting, what was normal, okay? They were getting what was normal. Now, look at verse 3. "What did the householder do and see in the third hour?" About 9 o'clock, okay? "And he went out about the third hour. He saw others standing idle in the marketplace." This must have been the custom. Went down, and they stood looking for work, and different ones would come and pick them up. "Come on, let's go to the fields." And so he goes out, and he sees some others standing there, and that was at 9. Verse 4, "What did the householder say to those standing idle?" Well, he said to them, "Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever right is right, I will give unto you. So he doesn't, you know, they don't settle on a specific amount. Now, those at six, he'd settle on a specific amount, a denarius, all right, for the day's labor. Now, we're on our sheet number two, if you're with us, and we're at verse 4, part B, looking in Matthew chapter 20, verse 4b, and the question we ask here is this: how did the idle laborers respond? Well, it says they went their way. Man, they're happy. They got hired on for the rest of the day, and they went their way. Then we come to the sixth and ninth hour. What did the house owner do in the sixth and ninth? Well, again, he went out about the sixth and ninth hour. 12 o'clock would be the sixth, and then 3 o'clock. And he did likewise. Same thing. Saw some other ones there. Said, hey, you know, we got to get these grapes picked. Well, I need some more help. You want to come? Yeah, okay, fine. And now, here we go. What did the householder do in the 11th hour? Okay, we're now about 5 p.m. And about the 11th hour, he went out and he found others standing idle. And he saith to them, why stand ye here all day idle? And they answer him. They say to him, oh, because no man's hired us. Now, we'd like to go to work, but nobody's hired us. So he said to them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Whatsoever is right, you're going to receive it. All right? What did a householder say when Eve was come to his steward? So when Eve was come, 6 o'clock, all right, evening, the Lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire. Remember the practice in those days, you got paid at the end of the day. Now we get paid at the end of the week, all right, or sometimes it's every 2 weeks. Sometimes it's once a month, all right, but okay, so, but at those times, every day, you know, at the end of the day, you got your pay. So call laborers, give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Now, the Lord's got something to plan here, doesn't he? Okay. Well, what did the laborers receive who began working at 5 o'clock? They worked for 1 hour. What did they receive? When they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny, a denarius. Wow. Okay. You think those laborers are happy? Ooh-wee. Now, what did the laborer expect who began at 6 a.m. in the morning? But when the first came, they supposed that they should receive more. They're going to get more, right? Well, what did the laborers receive who began working at 6 a.m. in the morning? And they likewise received every man a penny, a denarius. All right, now it's time to watch for responses, right? Watch for responses. How did the laborers respond to receiving only a penny? And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house. They murmured. Now, what caused them to murmur? Remember, we talk about lust, don't we? Okay, what's the two primary ways we demonstrate it's a lust and not a godly desire? Well, when we don't get it, we what? Get angry, or when we have something and it's taken from us, we get angry. So anger, as evidenced by mumbling and grumbling, bears witness that there's a lust in our heart. Now, notice what they say. Saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day? Okay, so you see, you know, How easy is it for a laborer who perceives that someone else is getting more than what they're getting, and they deserve it a whole lot more than the other one? How do they often respond? What did the householder say to them? But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny?" Now, what else did the householder say to them? "Take that as thine and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thy eye evil because I am good?" Now, where did we begin? We end up again. "So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen." All right, so now, you look at that. Any thoughts? Ever get jealous because someone else is being blessed? Now, let's ask ourselves a question. Those other laborers who came afterwards, did they deserve the denarius? And the answer is, no, they didn't deserve it. So we're not talking about whether or not someone deserves something. All right, you have to put that right out of your mind. Because a lot of times you're going to see individuals receive things they do not deserve. That's why I tell you, never pray, "God, give me what I deserve." No, you pray, "God, be merciful." But there's individuals in your life and in my life, we've watched and seen how they've been blessed with a position, blessed with some riches, blessed with an inheritance, blessed in some other way. And you scratch your head and you say, "Why is that? Look what I've done. Lord, I've been faithful. I've been doing this. I've done this. I've done this and done. And one of the lessons that we look at and we see here is that, you know, God will have mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and whom he will, he harden. He's revealed to us a lot about man's nature here, and also about man's nature. Let's skip over those. If we got time, I didn't know how much time we're going to have. Let's go to our last sheet, and we might come back and look at some of those references about judging. Because that's one of the things. We don't judge like God judges. But what do these verses teach us about our triune God? God is what? Oh, he's merciful. Okay, that's one thing. What else is God, according to these verses? Remember what he said here. Let me just read that verse. "And he answered and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny?" He's fair, just, and equal. Okay, did you agree with it? Okay. So he's not shortcutting him anything. He's fair. He's just. Do we learn anything else about God? Those are probably the couple. Anything else that you saw about our God in those verses? All right, what do we learn about mankind? Well, one thing is mankind, they want to get paid for their what? They want to get paid for their work. And is there anything wrong with that? No. Nothing wrong. That's an innate thing in us that we want to, you know. He talks about the labor's worthy of his hire. So, I mean, that's something that God has, you know, built into us, is that, you know, we want to get paid, you know, for our work. So we see that. But sometimes mankind, they don't like to see what? What don't they like to see it? Mankind in general sometimes. They don't like to see other people getting blessed. Now look, they don't mind you getting blessed as long as they are getting blessed, all right? They can live with that. But when somebody else is getting blessed and in their mind they're not being blessed, that sometimes are, you know, and you've known people like that. You know people like that. How will some men respond when they don't get what they want or what they believe they think they deserve? They get angry. How do they show? How do they, murmuring. So, you know, you listen to yourself. What's going on? You know, what's this thing about my murmuring? Why am I murmuring? Well, it's indicator that I'm not content with what I have. And and ultimately, who am I going to be blaming? Yeah, God, the householder, all right? Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's gone. That's gone, yeah. Yeah. Now, how might these verses change our behavior? Anybody want to give a purpose? I'll start you out. Hey, I purpose to follow my Lord's example by what? Well, first of all, we know that he was what? He was just and fair. So when you make a bargain, you better what? Yeah, live up to it. If you make a vow, you make a deal, you want to live up to it. So that's what you see here, all right? Hey, I purpose to follow my Lord's example and do what? What else did he do? Not only was he just with the ones he made the bargain, but he was even others. Hey, there's follow your Lord's example, and at times you can give blessings, even to those who don't deserve it. And that might be your family members. It might be friends. It might be even an arch enemy. But there's times when you and I can, we can bless others. What's God say? Okay, when they're evil to you, here's what I want you to do. Be back evil to them. No, he says, render a blessing. And Amen. All right, well, one of the things we can go back for just, I'll wait. Any other thoughts, any other questions? Before we slip back to something I wanted to. He may not hire that one again because of their attitudes. Chances are you're right. On your other sheet, I said, hey, man does not always judge like God judges. In Matthew 7, the principle we know is that, way you judge, you're going to be judged. So then he goes on to tell us that the first thing that we should do is what? Get the log out of our own eye. So that's before we're judging others, we want to make sure we judge ourselves. Romans 2:12 speaks about when we judge, we ought to judge in accordance to the law. In other words, our judgments must be in line with the Word of God. Because sometimes people say, well, we can't judge. No. The way you judge, you're going to be judged. So you better be mindful how you judge. It's not that you shouldn't judge. It's how you should judge and do it rightly. And to do it rightly is to use the Word of God and base your judgments on the Word of God. I forget what 1 Corinthians 4 or 5. Let me go there. Turn there if you want, or you can just listen to it as I read to you. 1 Corinthians 4 or 5 says... Oh, I know what this is, I think. Oh, yeah. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then every man shall receive praise of God. In other words, this is really being a blessing to someone who, you know, you're praising someone, he's saying, be careful about how you're judging them to be something. Because one of the things, you don't know their motives. You don't know what they do in darkness. So be careful about lifting somebody up, that type of judgment. And 2 Timothy 4:8 says it like this. And we'll stop with this one. 2 Timothy 4:8 says, henceforth there's laid up a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not for me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. So, you know, that's, you say, there's a way God judged, in the aspect that they're loving his appearing. So you look and say, he's saying, well, you know, the first are going to be last, the last are going to be first. Well, God's judging, he knows our motives, he knows our works, he knows everything. He knows, you know, our faith and love towards him, and he's going to make the perfect judgment, and render the right riches to each and every one of us. So, any other thoughts?